and Francesca present Cinema Matrimony.
Welcome to another episode of Cinema Matrimony. I am your host, Matt Scalise, with my co-host, Francesca. And we are just leaving the Avengers, or as it's known in Europe, what did you say it's called?
The Avengers Assemble.
It's the Avengers Assemble or Avengers Assemble?
Well, I don't know. I'm not European.
I don't know. You talk a lot about it. Anyways, obviously, I think we have a lot of listeners here because everyone in the world, literally, has already seen this
literally,
movie.
Literally, everyone in the world.
So, okay. We have seen... Well, I have seen all of the movies leading up to this, all of the Marvel films that tie in. No, you have not seen the Hulk movie.
I did.
No, you did not see the Edward Norton Hulk movie.
We rented it. I didn't really watch it, but it was on and I was in the same room, so it's like I watched it.
Well, I will say that was the one that made me the most skeptical about this. I was anticipating being pretty blah about the Hulk, and obviously, I think Joss Whedon probably got the message about that too and made sure that the Hulk was easily the most fun character in this whole movie. And it makes you wonder, why didn't they try to make the Hulk fun when they made the Hulk movie? Because he's clearly a lot of potential for fun. He's really, like, there's a lot of humor that they use with him. He's a blast to watch, you know, kind of do his thing.
Well, I think Mark Ruffalo deserves a lot of the attention because he has that sort of, like, Edward Norton's too serious.
He's a lot more likable than Edward Norton, yes.
Between his clenched teeth that are, he never opens his mouth when he talks, like, you can tell there's, like, some good humor there. And, you know, every other Hulk has been super serious. But let me just throw this out. I don't understand why the Hulk could control himself during an alien fight, but not on a plane.
No, he kind of couldn't. He could only partially control himself. If you recall...
Well, he didn't, like, beat up the Avengers.
No, but he did.
He was trying to beat up the Avengers.
He was, in a tizzy, he, like, punches the crap out of Thor right when they're, like, done fighting somebody. And it's just because he's...
And you, like, an 11-year-old boy were like...
Because it was awesome.
You, like, tittered.
Because he has nothing else to do at that point. So he will punch the Avengers if he's... If he has an opportunity to.
On the plane, I don't even... understand why he got really mad. That was like totally
because he had
make any sense.
Some stuff fall on top of him.
Well, that doesn't make you mad. That makes you go like, "Ouch!"
It makes me mad.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was because, let's talk about this for a second. We all know, regular listeners to Cinema Matrimony know your feelings about one Scarlett Johansson. How did you feel about her in this movie?
Well. They definitely should have dubbed her with someone who actually speaks Russian, because it sounded like a surfer girl, like, reading phonetically
but
spelled
she's a
out
spy.
Russian.
She would have a perfect American accent.
No, she would have a perfect Russian accent. That's my point.
No, she's a spy.
When she was speaking Russian at the beginning,
it
sounded like...
An American speaking Russian?
It sounded like me in any language class I've ever taken, because I'm the worst.
Well, I wasn't really paying attention to her Russian accent
while
speaking Russian.
Yeah, you're paying attention
Russian.
To something else. Two somethings.
Whatever. But, okay, so when she was speaking English, did you hate her?
Always.
You still hated her?
I mean, it just, there's nothing...
I thought she had a couple of decent moments. She was okay. Jeremy Renner are obviously the duds of the cast.
You have my tiny guns and my bow and my axe. Like, come on.
Jeremy Renner,
got a face like a man's thigh. I know I've said that before. Jeremy Renner, like, he does nothing for me.
I really liked him in that one movie that won Best Picture that I already can't remember the name of.
You really liked him in that movie?
What was it called?
Whatever. Boring Iraq. The end.
No. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I forgot the name of that movie. The something box or something like that.
Kaboom Powie.
What was it called?
We all feel good about voting for this.
What was it called?
It was dumb!
What was that movie called?
I don't know.
Anyways, I liked him in that. I haven't liked him in anything since. He is really dull to me. He's not interesting, and I didn't really have any feelings about him in this either. You could have literally put anyone,
a man's thigh,
in that role, and his head was just a pink bubble
to us. That's
but,
right.
But, I mean, yes, Robert Downey Jr.
He's always going
to
bring it.
Is you could? I mean, to me, I want Tony Stark to appear in all the other Marvel films from now on in some capacity. And they have had him do that a little bit so far. But right. It would be really... I really hope they make an effort to tie in and acknowledge the existence of the Avengers when they keep moving forward. I mean, they obviously will in Thor 2. But I hope when they continue on and they do Iron Man 3, and which I think they're already making, and you know, Captain America 2 or whatever, I really hope there's a concerted effort to tie things in a little more, because the dynamic really worked to me in this movie. Those characters all have really interesting relationships with each other.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, though. I would say, for all of the butt-kissing that people have done about this movie, I definitely enjoyed Captain America more. Maybe even Thor I enjoyed more. Because this is one of those things where...
Than this movie?
I think maybe, a little bit. It gets a little too disjointed. You know, I like a little more streamlined story. I mean, I like these characters. Well, with the exceptions that we've just noted. Like, I want to spend more time with Thor. I want to spend more time with Captain America.
Yeah, but it's cool to have this, too.
I want to spend more time with, like, you know. Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's cool to get them all.
Especially when you introduce the Hulk and, you know, he's kind of peripheral. And it's like, oh, well, I want to see that movie. And I want to see Captain America again because I love that movie. And I want to see Thor again because I like that movie, too. Ooh.
We just drove over a dead animal, for the record.
I think it was a cat, too.
But, no, I think it was an armadillo.
I didn't hit it,
though. It was an armadillo.
Let it be noted, I did not hit it. I am very good at missing dead animals.
Well, you know...
also live ones.
I will say this, that I think of everybody's... of all the individual components here, I think that the movie Thor was the most important movie to have seen before going into this movie. They brought the most... components that actually mattered to this movie.
But I don't think... They...
Loki's the main bad guy. Which, by the way, Tom Hiddleston is really good.
He's so snivelly and worst. And he's got his feathered hair. He's great.
He's the best villain that any of these Marvel movies have had. And he's really... It's a great little performance.
You know why, though? You know why he's one of the best? And I think this is probably why I like Captain America and Thor the best. Oh, what am I doing? It's not where we turn. Is that they're not hiding behind CG. You've got Captain America, Thor, and Loki are all men's faces acting. I think we've just discovered something. That's why I like those movies so much. Like, I like Iron Man, okay, but when 40% of the movie is a CGI face, like, that's not interesting to me. I prefer, and Tom Hiddleston is such a good bad guy because it's just his stupid face being snivelly. And just, like, you know, act in the H.
But he could.
It,
but he's also. What I really like about Loki and Thor in general is that they have this like mentality that those two characters have.
If you're going to talk about Alabama and Auburn, I will kick.
No, I'm not talking about Alabama and Auburn. Why did you think I was going there?
Because little brother, big brother. No, thing that you're always talking about.
I think it's interesting that you went there.
I went there because you talk about it all the time.
But I do think that. I like that, first of all, that it's like this Shakespearean play.
Well,
in it, but
it's mythological.
Right, but what's cool about it is that it's got this very, it's got this sort of period feel to it. And those characters, they don't seem too out of place, but I like that they have, like, different... values that they're living by that because you would never have
Captain America as well.
I think it would be harder to buy Loki as a villain. You don't have a lot of villains in the sort of modern day Marvel movies that are just like, I want to be, you know, I want the world to bow to me, and these like sort of old school evil, like classical villains, because they always have to find a way to be like, well, I'm just in it for the money, or,
well, that's,
you know,
that's
I'm a religious fanatic or something, you know.
My podcast brethren across the pond on Film Fandango made me laugh because they were like, apparently he just wants to sit on a throne. Is that what he just wants to sit on a throne?
Yeah, but he's an ancient
that's what he's fighting for.
God
who
wants
to sit
around
on a throne a little
bit. But you know what? Every Shakespearean villain is trying to kill his brother so that he can have the throne. That's like what, that's what those characters were about, you know?
Right.
It was about absolute power and
I know, it is kind of
refreshing. Immortal glory,
as
yeah.
As opposed to being like, I'll have the biggest weapon and then I will have the
use
power.
Use it to free my people and I'm a misunderstood person. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. No, it's just Loki is a badass mofo that wants to be in charge. He wants to be the king and his brother is and he's pissed.
Well, I'm going to say this, though. Intergalactic sea turtles? Not particularly scary. Not really something that is,
well,
kind of almost adorable.
The little,
army, in a little way.
The little army is like, it's whatever. And you had to have something that was a bunch of minions crawling out and being bad.
They
it could have been anything.
Like flying monkeys at one point.
They did kind of look like flying monkeys.
That they were like holding on to buildings and being flying monkeys.
The flying monkey reference from early in the movie, yeah.
Right, right. Which, you know, Chris Evans. Love him.
Was Wizard of Oz pre-World War II? Was it?
You know what?
I don't know if it was.
It was 30.
Oh, then yes, it was.
Four.
If it was in the 30s, it was.
I think. 42. No. 42? It was like a golden year. It was a year that a lot of... I think it was 42.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they did their research.
Sorry, nerds.
I'm sure they researched it. I'm sure Whedon researched it. But...
But yeah, I don't... You know, there's a lot made of Joss Whedon as a brand, and... To me, you know...
I'm not sold. I'm not a fanboy of Joss Whedon. I think this was a really good movie. All aside, this was a really good movie and a really good screenplay.
I would say it was a good movie. I might remove the really.
I liked it. I clearly liked it more than you did. And I thought that the...
It just got long.
I didn't feel long to me. I could have handled more. But I do agree with you in the sense that I like all these individual characters in their own plots and everything. And I wouldn't want every movie from now on to be an Avengers movie.
No, I would
want like
Hulk. Here I am.
You
saving
want,
another animal's life
you,
here.
You want
Go ahead, squirrel. Run free.
You want individual combinations of this team is what you're suggesting.
Well,
which I think is an interesting idea.
I liked Hulk and Tony Stark. There was a good dynamic there.
That would
there
be a cool
guy
movie.
I love, you know.
Why not make a Hulk and Iron Man movie, or just put the Hulk in the next Iron Man movie, or vice versa? But or why not have, you know? Because to me, I also think that Tony Stark and Captain America is an interesting pairing because they're sort of equals physically. But they have completely different mindsets. There's a generation gap.
I couldn't wrap my head around, like, you know, Thor and the Hulk.
I think that's a great team too.
Well, I'm saying though, like, they're all like super strong, but there was like, I couldn't figure out what the hierarchy of like who was the strongest. I guess it's the Hulk, but like, but then
Thor's
other times,
pretty
like,
Thor's
Thor
pretty
could,
strong.
You know, punch through a tree and stuff. So I don't. I need like a. I need a.
Well,
low chart.
I think that Thor's
Gentle
strength.
Listeners.
Thor's strength is situational. The one thing that we know after this movie is that it's impossible, as far as we know, to even remotely harm the Hulk. He's completely invincible.
What?
He put a bullet in his mouth and then spit it back out.
Boom! You know what I don't understand? Why was there that moment where after Thor fell out of the plane that he like his. He was like, come here, hammer, and it was like, no. I thought that was
Oh, no, it was
back.
Just, it was really, wait, when he threw, I think it was just,
When he had hit the ground and everything had, like, you know, dug into the ground, and he, like, went, like, he was, like, right above it. He was, like, point blank
yeah.
with his hammer.
He might have just
he, like,
had
outstretched his hand, like, come here, baby.
Just a moment of weakness.
And it was like, no. Nah,
moment
I'm
of weakness.
Stay here in this soft ground.
Where he was remembering the events of the major motion picture Thor.
Yeah, probably.
I like that they were also, like, they were like, wait, where's Natalie Portman? And they were like, don't worry. She's hiding safely and will not appear in this film.
I will say a moment that I really liked was when Jason Statham Light, whatever his name is.
Whoa. That's not fair to him at all.
I mean, they look like each other.
He looks like if you sucked all the muscle out of Jason Statham,
I guess.
Well,
that's not fair to him. The man died. Oh, spoiler. Sorry. Anyways, I liked the moment that he was like, no, this will never work unless they have something to... And clearly, he was going to say, avert? What are you trying to say? It was a nice moment. It made me feel good to smugly lean over to you and be like, avenge, man. He was going to say avenge. They're the Avengers.
Well, it was, I think it deserves to be successful. I think it's broadly appealing. Like I said, it does not, you're going to hear some people, right? And I've heard some of our film nerds friends have said things like this before. Like, does it work as its own standalone movie?
Yeah,
right?
I think it does.
You hear that a lot. I don't think it does. I think it absolutely is only effective because of the movies they made before it.
No.
But that's fine. That's the whole point. That's the plan. They made all these other movies, and then after you see them, you see the Avengers, and it's a really cool payoff, and I'm totally fine with that. I don't need it to be a standalone movie, and I think if you see it and you haven't seen at least three of the other four franchises, I think you will be missing out on something.
I think, though, you don't have to have seen those movies to get the gist of Iron Man, to get the gist of Captain America. I mean, there's a few throwaway lines that sort of recap it if you don't know, but, like, you only have to be alive and have seen commercials to get that, like, Iron Man has a suit, Captain America's from the 40s, Thor is a demigod.
We get the Hulk. Everybody knows about the Hulk.
Everybody knows about the Hulk. Come on. Lou Ferrigno made sure that we all know.
Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, I call him whatever I want.
Ferrigno.
It's a nickname we have, Matt. It's a nickname we have.
All right. Well, I think our consensus is...
You
say good, not great. I say
But definitely
great.
Don't get it. Don't see it in 3D. We saw it in 3D because we had to because of time.
It doesn't hurt to see it in 3D, but it's not necessary.
It's like arrows shot at your face, but
it's not necessary.
It's not worth the money.
No, I agree.
It was not worth the money to 3D it up. But it is worth the money to see it at a matinee, though.
I will say this one more thing in closing. The biggest laugh we got in our theater, biggest reaction overall, and probably my favorite moment in the movie, was when Loki's big speech is interrupted very suddenly.
He gets eaten by a shark. There, I said it.
Right. No, that was Samuel L. Jackson.
Full circle. See what I've done there?
That's right.
All right, goodbye, friends.
All right, well...
I'm calling
it was pretty abrupt, but I'll go with it. All right.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
We hope you'll listen again. I am your...
We should be podcasting more this summer. We'll be seeing more movies now because there's a bunch of good ones.
Are you planning to make more money, Matt Scalise? Are you planning to feed our children less?
How about if you like listening to this show, please...
Send cash or money.
Please email us.
Wait, cash or money.
Please feel free to send us... gift cards to Rave Motion Pictures.
Oh, well played, sir. Well played.
Including you, managers of Rave Motion Pictures.
We love your theaters. We patronize them. Oh, wait a minute. Patronize them.
No, that works. That right? That works.
We are faithful patrons.
All right.
Of them.
Well, thank you everyone again, and enjoy seeing...
Your burrito.
Enjoy... No, that's not us.
That's not us?
No.
I wish it was us.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye.